Good morning and welcome to everyone from the Group 3 District and from the wider parts of the world, wherever you're watching us on our joint service. Quick intro from Blair Duff and Chapel of Geary. We've prepared the list of Christmas services, but rather than give you all the times and details, we'll just let you know that those will be published in our Christmas cards and information for you. But we're very grateful for all the team ministry and the benefits of technology that allow us to have a service on all the critical dates throughout the Christmas period, which is an absolute delight and a joy, and I'm sure those services will be lovely. This morning we're not having a normal service in Blair Duff, but in 3 p.m. in the afternoon we're having a joint service with Ohio in America. So I hope you can come and join us for that if you're watching this in time. And I'm now going to pass you over to Neil in Kintore.
Thank you very much, Stella, and hello, everybody. Same here at Kintore. All of our dates for Christmas services are now available, and rather than list them here, we'll make them available in the weekly email. And also, any other, you know, if, do be in touch if you would like to know about them. We'll also pop them on the website. I suppose the first one to mention there, though, is the Time to Remember service, which will take place on the 8th. That's Wednesday, the 8th of December at 7 p.m. But we'll announce the others as they come. And then the big excitement for us at Kintore this week is that Tose Chimunda's family have arrived from Zimbabwe. They're not, they, we, you can't see them yet because they're self-isolating for a while for the next 10 days or so. But great news that they've arrived safely here in Scotland. Sheila, what's happening in Echt and Bidmar?
Hello to everybody who's joining us this morning. Our Echt and Midmar coffee morning, by the time we listen to this recording, will have been on Saturday. It's our direct giving weekend, so we're also thinking about stewardship in our service for the first Sunday of Advent. Looking forward to next Sunday, though, at 7 p.m. in Echt, there will be our Pause for Thought service, which is our Blue Christmas service and quiet celebration. Our Christmas services will be on a list and available for people to pick up the information, and also it'll be on the notice boards and on our website. So please take a look if there are services you'd like more information about. And I'm going to hand over now to Sheila over in Kemeny.
Good morning to everybody. I hope you're enjoying your service. And of course, we have Tosi with us on this Sunday, and we look forward to hearing from him once more. We remain very grateful for all the support we're having for our services during Joshua's absence, and we thank everybody involved in that, as well as the others in churches. We'll be posting details of the Christmas services on our website, and they will also be published on our Christmas card. The Christmas tree goes up on the Friday, the 3rd of December, and we're all looking forward to having a reminder that Christmas is coming all too quickly. On the 19th, we have our Nativity service, and interestingly, this year we have a Christmas alphabet poem where members of the congregation are contributing a line or two each, and that's a novel idea, and we look forward to seeing that. And that's all from Kenny that just now, and I ask Ewan to give his contribution.
Thank you, Sheila, and it's lovely to be able to speak to all of you watching this. We've got very few things to say, really. I'm not going to repeat all the Christmas stuff because that's what's happening everywhere else. Simply say next Sunday we shall be worshipping at Clooney Church at 10 o'clock, well, Clooney Church Hall at 10 o'clock. But in the evening, we're going to be doing a Christingle service, and it's going to be a Zoom service. There's no live participation. And I'm going to try and do a Zoom service from one of the churches, depending which one gives me the best signal for my mobile phone. So that's something new for us. We did it last year live from the manse, but I'm hoping to do one from the church. So that's next Sunday, 10 o'clock at Clooney. And we have our Christingle service at 6 o'clock in the evening. So if you want to participate, you've got to bring your own stuff. It's not like when you come to church. So oranges, ribbons, all these things that you'll need. But look at our website or Facebook page and you'll get information there. And folks, I think that's all the intimations and the news around the parish just now. So I do hope that you enjoy this time of worship.
Welcome to worship. We sing of God's mercy and grace shown to all generations. We praise God's constant and never-ending love and faithfulness. We rejoice that God's promise of an anointed one, the Messiah, is about to be fulfilled. O come, Emmanuel, God with us forever. We're entering this time of Advent in preparation for Christmas. Advent reminds us that if God is to be born again in the most ordinary parts of our world and our lives, then we need to prepare for it. We need to make space in our lives for love to grow and to thrive and to be nurtured. Our hope is in the God who will bring all nations together. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
As your people prepare to come before you in prayer, you are here with us, God of heaven and earth. May our prayers and our singing, our thoughts and our faith be acceptable and hopeful and filled with the promise of what is yet to come. Eternal and loving God, in this Advent season we gather together to praise you. As we wait for the signs of your coming, the songs of the angels, the shining star, the visit of the Magi, we wait in anticipation and in expectation for all to be made complete. Your presence is with us now, even in the fears we hold, even in the failings which stop us from action. Even in those times of darkness when we fear losing the sense of your presence. Even when we find our eyes closed to the glimpses of what you offer us. And even when we fail to notice the weaving of your purpose in and through our lives. Where we miss the signs of hope and goodness, forgive us and bless us. And walk with us this journey as we walk with you. Call us back again, God, to be with you in this hallowed time and place. And remind us that we are blessed because we are your people and blessed because you are our God. Call us to dream great dreams, to see beauty and potential where we haven't yet thought to look. And may these days and weeks be a true advent of new thinking. May they be a dawning of new experiences, new communion with you. So, holy God, walk with us in our preparations, encouraging us to find meaning and fulfillment in all that this season offers. For this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Our readings today come from Jeremiah and the Thessalonians. Reading from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14. The day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days, and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this will be its name: the Lord is our righteousness. And reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing a visit. I had planned to visit the week before, and because of circumstances, partly my own fault and partly out of my control, I missed the visit. So I rearranged the visit, and it was for 7:30 p.m. one evening. Well, about 7 o'clock that evening, I started to get myself ready to go. It would only take me 10 to 15 minutes to drive across to visit this family. And so, 7 o'clock, I decided to get myself ready, shoes on, get a tie on, tighten, making myself neat, brush my hair as best I could, get my coat on, get the notes that I'd prepared for our meeting, gathered them up, jumped in the car and started to reverse the car out of the drive. Then I recognised that I didn't have my spectacles on. So back into the house to find my spectacles. Looked in all the usual places. Could I find them? No way. I was running around a bit like a headless chicken because I'd missed the previous week by mistake and I didn't want to miss this meeting. And we got into the usual state. My wife saying, "Where did you last leave them?" Of which grumpily I would reply, if I knew that, they wouldn't be lost. Then it was a matter of just thinking, I'm going to have to go across without them. I know, I said to myself, in somewhat panic mode, I've got prescription sunglasses in the car, I'll just use them. Halfway there, I abandoned the sunglasses. And thankfully the road was quite quiet, because you've probably guessed by now, it was a dark night, and dark sunglasses didn't help me seeing any clearer. If you're interested, I did find my spectacles the next day. They were in the garage beside our freezer, though I've no idea why. I really must get a spare pair. One of the great problems that I have in church week by week is choosing hymns. It's never easy finding the right hymns to meet all the congregation's wishes. And now with restrictions as to what we can and can't play and copy online, even a small congregation like mine, it's difficult sometimes to please all the people. For some want traditional hymns, some modern, some with praise band type music, some with organ. You can never win choosing hymns for a congregation. And at this time of the year, as we approach Christmas, it gets even harder for me. Do we stick to the few traditional carols and sing them at each service in the chance that any visitors might come along and remember hymns from the past and leave the church feeling happy? Or do we spread them out over the Christmas season with old and traditional and also newer hymns mixed in? I tend to do that. I remember being told off by a colleague in our presbytery a few years ago now by singing too many Christmas carols, for he didn't believe that you sung Christmas carols until Christmas Eve. And he was quite sure about that, probably much more liturgically high than I am. Anyway, I just thought to myself, imagine the Sunday before Christmas and not singing Christmas carols, one or even five. It would cause an uproar. While thinking back, I recall watching a television programme, a debate about family life, and how family life has changed over the last 50 years. There was some old lady, she was probably the same age as I am now, who had started a charity that was looking back to the way it had been for her as a teenager growing up. Family life, she said, was so much more easy then, and she was trying to rebuild a family unit, as she described it. For some reason or other, I got thinking about that not long ago. Thinking back to my own childhood, and how in Dundee I had an extended family around me. I always as a child thought that the Bruins in the Sunday Post were based on my family. Grandparent, cousin, uncles, aunt, we were all there. And family outings were not a rare occasion, but a trip, one, two or three cars usually filled with people heading off for a picnic in the summer to the countryside or to the local beaches for a swim. Great memories. And I remember when my mother died when I was quite young, how the family wound itself around us to help my dad cope, with different aunts coming in at different times for cooking and helping us. We were lucky when I look back. Whereas I know Andrew doesn't have the same close family nearby, for we've all moved away from our own hometowns and began our own lives in different parts of the country. And no doubt this pattern is repeated up and down the land as people become more and more flexible in where they work. But you know, there is a danger here in looking to the past with rose-tinted glasses. Back to glasses again. Sure, the family was nearby, but my own family, my sister, brother and me, I suspect we would all argue that we wouldn't have received as much out of life had we stayed where we are, in Dundee. We had to move to study, to work, to set up homes near our work, and we've had so much more than our parents had, and our kids have had so many more chances than we ever had. Looking back is fine, but we must look back honestly and without being blinded by sentiment. We have the same problem at times in the church, looking back rather than looking forward. It's nice to do. It makes us somehow feel comfortable to imagine things as they once were. But does it do much good? The world has moved on, and so must we, even if we'd like to think it's moved the wrong way forward. The season we enter today, by the lighting of the candle and the readings we have heard, say that in Advent we are not Christmas. That we use this time not solely to prepare for Christmas, as so many people think Advent is, but to prepare again for the coming of Christ. Advent is such a special time of reflection and preparation, a time to look forward while at the same time looking back. It's a time when we should challenge ourselves as we look forward to the journey of faith that leads us to see Christ when he returns, and yet look back to see how we can change our ways and walk more confidently towards Christ. Today, as we enter that period of Advent, we look for the light of hope that shines once again in our hearts and in our very beings. We look for the love that is shown to us in Christ. When I looked at the lectionary reading for today, I wondered what on earth does a passage that concentrates on the second coming of Christ have to do with Advent? But of course, I've just told you. For Advent is not about Christmas. It's not just looking forward to the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, but it's looking forward to when he comes again. You know, most of our Advent material, our Advent candles have 1 to 25 down the sides. Our Advent calendars do likewise, even when Advent starts before that. But Advent is more. We have to prepare ourselves to look forward to Christ's second coming. As I reflected on the meaning of Advent, I found myself drawing to three themes. Themes that I think we should be useful to reflect on that, on during Advent. The first is, Christ is coming again. The first of these themes is that as we prepare to remember Jesus coming to earth 2,000 years ago, so we look forward to his coming again in glory. And that's something special to look forward to. In our reading we read, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Jesus said that himself, speaking about his second coming. The great Christian hope that he will come again and he will usher in a new heaven and a new earth, where there will be no more tears, no more partings, no more suffering. Jesus said he will be the light in our midst. You could read about that in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Perhaps we should live our lives all year round as an Advent, preparing for that event. In fact, no perhaps, I'm sure we should. And the second of these things that I thought about was, God still has work for us to do on earth. God still has work for us, you and me, to do. We are called to live a Christian life in our communities, loving our neighbours, sharing the good news of Christ with our neighbours. In our gospel reading today, Jesus had this to say about this time that we are living, leading up to the second coming. "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." We've been called to stand firm, not hide in the shadows, but raise our heads and prepare for his coming. God wants us to be lights, I believe, that shine in the darkness, bringing others into that light. And I think that as the church, he expects us to fulfill his mission for us on this earth. And you will recall the great commission given to the church: "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you." And he followed up by saying, "For I will be with you always to the end of time." You know, we often complain that people are not interested in faith. And you know, I'm not sure about that. I do wonder if people are not interested in organized religion rather than faith. If we could only find a way to connect to inquiring minds of people who look for something beyond themselves, we could make a difference to our world. The problem we sometimes have, and I understand the problem, is that all our plans and hopes and mission is often centred around bringing people to the church rather than bringing them to faith. I've heard it so many times over the years, and I've probably said it more than once myself. What does this achieve? What does this do to bring folk to the church? In this period of Advent, when we look for the coming again, I do believe that Jesus wants us not to focus on living... I do believe that Jesus wants us to focus on living life today, not dreaming purely of the future. And we do so by living a life of love, of peace, of patience, etc. Jesus wanted us to be secure in the knowledge that he will come again. It's that great Christian hope, as I've said. But he does not want us to be stargazing. Martin Luther, the great reformer, is reputed to have said that even if he knew Christ was going to return tomorrow, he would still plant an apple tree. Jesus' ascension, recorded in Acts chapter 1, the 11 disciples were left gobsmacked and stargazing. Two angels were sent to remind them that God still has a mission for them. Let me read that part to you. "And while they were steadily looking towards heaven as Jesus went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said to them, 'Men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in a like manner as you saw him go. My final point is this. We must be alert. From our gospel reading, Jesus wants us to be on our guard, to be alert. He wants us to be so well schooled in scripture that we cannot be taken in by false prophets. And in my own congregations, I looked at that last week. In conclusion, our gospel reading encourages us to know, one, that one day Jesus will return and that we are living in the advent of that time. Two, that Jesus wants us to go on living as if he were coming tomorrow, to be on red alert, as it were. If he came tomorrow, would you be embarrassed by what he would find you doing? And three, Jesus wants us to be on a guard against being led astray by false prophets and teachers who would take us away from his way of love. He started by telling you the silly story of driving at night in my sunglasses and not being able to see the way forward. I had to remove the tinted glasses from in front of my eyes to see clearer, though not as clear as I should have been if I'd had my proper spectacles on. In Advent, we must remove from our sight that which blinds us from the truth of Christ's second coming. All the distractions, all the things that are meant to lead us astray, so that we can see the way forward in how we live our lives. For the gospel finishes with these words: be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Our Advent journey has begun. Amen.
And now let us pray together. Holy and eternal God, we give you thanks this day for the people who make our lives brighter and more hopeful. Those who remind us just how much we are loved and cherished. We give you thanks this day for the people who make others' lives easier. For all the various saints among us and the silent, unsung heroes. Those people who can transform the ordinary things and moments in life into something special. And so for all the various ways in which we see you at work in this world, today we give thanks. God of all hope, encourage us in our discipleship and help us to be thankful for every possibility we have to be your people in this place and time and in your church. As we begin our Advent pilgrimage together, grant us the courage never to lose hope. For as your light shines in the darkness, may we become more aware of the dark places in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. And let us pray for peace in this season. We pray also for your presence in the dangerous places of life, or where life simply hangs in the balance. For the times in which we find our principles tested, or the many places in this world where people find themselves at risk of harm. So let us wait and pray in hope for this world, which is so rich in possibility and promise. And to the Christ who makes all things new, we pray for ears to hear and for the courage to be open to God's leading. As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, "The Lord is near." We are witnesses of the dawning of that great light come into the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And so, with hope and in faith, we make our prayer in and through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came to us to be the light of the world.
Let us continue to pray using the words that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now go in peace, and may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with those you love this Advent time and forevermore. Amen.